We're going to have a great time today. I'm so thankful. If you don't know Monty and Kelly, they're wonderful pastors. They pastored several different churches. All of the churches had explosive growth, did great and very healthy. The last church was Christian Faith Center in Nampa, Idaho, and it's still going strong. They have seven campuses. Now they are the legacy pastors, and they've turned the reins over to Pastor Jordan. But now they come alongside churches in Arizona and Alaska, other places around the United States, and they just help the churches to reach the fullest potential that God has for them. So I want you to give them a wonderful Alaska welcome today as Monty and Kelly come.
Thank you, Pastor. Bless you. Did you notice he was dogging on my Raiders today, wasn't he? Pastor, where is the Super Bowl game at? It's not at the Cowboys Stadium. It's at the Raiders Stadium. So we got in there just a little bit. Amen. Amen. It is a privilege to minister to you today. Yesterday was amazing. I think this is something that we're going to do next year. Pastor Milt is going to do next year. We had a tremendous turnout. And how many were at the marriage seminar yesterday? Let me see your hands all over the building. Look at that. Look at that. Let's give them a great big hand. They made a great investment into their marriage. Next year, I would encourage you to make sure that you are a part of that. Right now, just before we share, I'm going to invite Pastor Milt and Melinda, would you just join in the altar facing your people? Also, Pastor Mitch and Jasper, hopefully you are in here. Would you stand by your mom and dad, face your congregation? And I travel all over the nation preaching now, and I love to begin my ministry by honoring the leadership of the house. How many recognize we are blessed to have Pastor Milt and Melinda to lead us into the very presence of God? Come on, amen. And then Pastor Mitch and his bride, let's give them a great big hand. Hey, we love you. Thanks for dinner last night. Pastor Mitch picked us up and said, Pastor Monty, where would you like to eat? And I said, well, I don't care. I'd love to eat some halibut. Can we just say amen and thank God for halibut? So he said, I know this restaurant. We went there. Guess what was not on the menu? So I love my hot dog anyway. So anyway, yes. But would you stand to your feet? Would you put your hands together? And let's give the Lord a great big hand. And let's thank him for the pastors in this house. Come on, let's put our hands together. We are so grateful for you. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you for your love for the people of God here in Wasilla. We know how hard you work, the burdens that you bear. I just came from Idaho to say, thank you, I love you, and I honor you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Bless you. Kelly, why don't you talk to us, share a scripture with us.
I have to admit something. During prayer, I got a scripture, and then last night I had a scripture, and then during worship, I was vacillating back and forth, but I feel like the Lord has a scripture for us this morning because he has a theme. How many of you know same Holy Spirit? Same Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Mitch, what a beautiful worship service that was. Oh, man, I could feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to know. We go to a lot of churches. Summit Worship Center is rare and special. Sometimes we get so immersed in the culture of a church and we come Sunday after Sunday, and it's kind of easy to not fully comprehend what is happening in a place. This place is rare and special, and you have rare and special leaders. And I know you know that, and I'm so thankful that we were able to honor them this morning. But during worship, we started singing a song about the psalmist David, and the scripture that the Lord gave me came back to me, and I love this. Jesus only wants one thing from you, by the way. He's a simple God. You know what he wants? All. Everything. everything you are, everything you want, everything that you have. He just wants it all. Why is that? Because he wants to bless it. He wants to pour his favor out upon you. So that word that came from heaven this morning in the altar, thank you, precious lady, for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because what a mighty word that is, that he just wants us to meet with him, not to check him off our list, but to know him and to know him intimately. And the psalmist David writes this, here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh. I love that word, crave. That means I want it more than I want food. I want it more than I want my next breath. I crave Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple, because here's why. In the day of trouble, he will treasure me in his shelter. Under the cover of his tent, he will lift me high upon a rock, out of reach from all my enemies who surround me. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, I will sing praises to Yahweh. He is that kind of God. Always has been, always will be, and he created us to worship him, to bring ecstatic joy and praise to him, amen. So I just want to encourage you, lean into that word that we heard from heaven this morning. Lean in, even tomorrow morning or tonight before you go to bed. Lean into his presence and know him more, amen, amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Wait. We are so close to Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, Kelly and I celebrate our 42nd wedding anniversary. Yeah, we got married in our, you know, early teens. I don't know, but anyway. You are still the jelly on my bread and the honey on my biscuit. Happy anniversary.
Awesome.
Amen. She's teaching the word of God and I'm wanting to smooch. I don't know. But it is good to be with you. It truly is. How many would believe that God is a sovereign God? He's a sovereign God. He's never made a mistake. And how many would recognize that before he created the heavens and the earth, he knew who was going to be in this service at Summit Worship Center, Wasilla, Alaska. How many are with me? Let me see your hands all over. He knew you were going to be here. When I was lost in drug addiction, confused and messed up 43 years ago, drug dealer in Northern California, how many recognize before he created the heavens and the earth, he knew there was going to come a day 43 years ago that he would pull me up out of the flames of hell and place my feet on the solid rock, and then fast forward 43 years, would be standing before you here today. Look at your neighbor and say, he is a sovereign God. Look at your second choice and tell him you look good for everything you've been through. But one thing I've noticed in life is that everything changes. Things change. People change. People will walk into your life and people will walk out of your life. How many are grateful that when you know Jesus in a personal way, he will never walk out of your life? Come on, can you say a good amen? And I just wrote a couple of things that change. I graduated high school, Northern California, Oroville High School, in 1977. And a lot has changed since 1977 in my life. And I've written a couple of them down. I hope you like them. In 1977, it was all about long hair. And in 2024, it's all about, in my life, longing for hair. Come on, how many say amen? Come on, can we get some bald guys? Can you give me some love? 1977 in my life, it was all about acid rock. Now today, it's all about acid reflux. A lot has changed. 1977, it was all about the Rolling Stones. In 2024, it's all about kidney stones. I am an endurance athlete. I race motocross. I race bicycles. And 3 months ago, yesterday, I crashed my dirt bike. I free fell 8 feet, landed on my right hip. I broke my hip, shattered my socket. So I just wanted to set up my final one. 1977, it was all about the new hip joint, the cool place to go, you know. But today, it's about the new hip and the new joints. Everything changes. Clothing styles change. Hairstyles change. I miss my bangs. I went from blonde to bald. It took me 40 years. Presidents change. Relationships change. Waist sizes change. Everything changes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Everything changes. And I shared this yesterday at the marriage seminar, that last week I read that it was minus 20 degrees here. And we fly in, and now it's like 35 degrees. Not minus, but 35. So we brought some heat with us. We brought some sunshine with us. I prayed hard. Oh, dear Lord, minus 20, you know Kelly and I will die. Everything changes. There is only one constant in life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His love for you last month is the same as His love for you today. His delivering power that was in my life 43 years ago is in my life today. Is there any redeemed people in the house? Can we put our hands together and say, thank you, Lord? Come on, let's give Him a hand. So today I want to talk to you about the most important aspect of your life. I want to talk to you about your walk with God. More important than your bank account is your walk with God. More important than anything in your life is your walk with God. If you get everything in life right, but get Jesus wrong, I want to talk to you about your walk with God. And I have wonderful scriptures I want to read in your hearing. Father, we thank you. Your anointing is on the word. You prepared the hearts of your people. Speak to us through your word, Lord, and we will say yes and amen. I want to talk to you about your walk with God. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. The Lord directs the steps. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Listen. He delights in every detail of their lives. How many would like for me to read that again? He delights in every detail of your lives. That's amazing. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20. So the steps, follow the steps of the good, stay on the paths of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your steps, your paths. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. How many love the book of Joshua? I just love the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Now, listen closely. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I want to talk to you about the most important aspect of your life. I want to talk to you about your walk with God. I have two thoughts for your consideration. And before you get all excited that there's only 2 points and not 4 points, if you know me, you know I can milk 2 points. Because the Raiders are not in the Super Bowl, I'm really in no hurry. If you will give me 25 minutes of your undivided attention, I believe the Lord will speak to you powerfully. So the first thought for your consideration, number one, walking with God is a process. How many recognize we're all on different levels in our walk with God? What I love about this church, what I love about your pastor, I understand he goes to Pakistan and places like that, and thousands get saved, thousands get healed. How many are grateful for the anointing upon your pastor? But I'm also grateful, equally grateful, that right here in Wasilla, there are people getting saved, getting baptized, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? But all of us are on different stages in our walk with God. And to those of us who have been around the block a few years, I've been a Christian for 43 years now. I want to make sure that those who are starting in the faith, those who are still a little bit messed up, still got a little bit of addiction, still a little bit, can I say that there's still a little bit of brokenness in my life that the Holy Spirit is still working on? How many are grateful that God is not finished with you yet? But I want to make sure that in my maturation process in God, in my walk with God, that I still have a heart for those who are starting out in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I understand that you're still a little bit broken, but listen, if God can set me free from the addiction you're struggling with, He can set you free. He is no respecter of persons. Smell a little bit of Marlboro on your breath. Hey, that's okay. God can set you free. I'm just going to love you. I'm just going to pick you up. I'm not going to judge you. You see, our walk with God, we're all on different stages. And for many years in my life, I was abused by my father, beat up. And from 18 to 21, my life was a buzz and a blur. And I had religious people that knew me back then that would point that bony religious finger at me and say, Monty, you are throwing your life away. You are a mess. You are a waste. You're going to end up in prison. And then the Holy Spirit drew me to Oroville First Assembly of God. On a Sunday night, and my spiritual father, Pastor E.E. Smith, I preached his going home celebration 4 years ago. He didn't point a bony religious finger at me. He preached to me about a Father in heaven that would never hurt me. And I ran to the altar, and God literally set me free. I did not just pray a prayer. I was born again. Any born again people in the house? Come on. Can you shout amen? So I want to be a defender of the underdog. I want to be a dispenser of grace. I want to be able to say, I know it's hard right now, but listen, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You stay in the house of God. Stay submitted to the authority in the house of God. Stay in the Word. Don't just go through the Word, but allow the Word to go through you. Get in a small group. I'm just a few years further down the road than you are. So walking with God is a process. If you would turn or click in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, dear Lord, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, listen closely, I am Almighty God. Can we just say amen? He says, I am. Not I was. Not one day perhaps I will be. Almighty God says, I am. Almighty God. I want to talk to you about your walk with God, the most important aspect of your life. He says to Abram, Abram, the boy is 99 years old. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, the word blameless in the original language means to be fully developed, mature, moral, and whole. And I'm finding in my walk with God, again, that we're all on different levels. Walking with God is a process. God is talking to a 99-year-old man and still saying to him, grow up, walk before me, and be blameless. Now, I want to highlight two stages in our walk with God. In our first stage in our walk with God, He leads us. In our first stage in our walk with God, He leads us. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Listen closely. He says, He leads me. Our first stage in our walk with God, He leads us. He said, He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Listen, He says it again. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Are there any papas, nanas, grandpas, grandmas, meemaws, wah-wahs, woo-woos, ya-yas? Any in the house? Can I see your hands? I have four grandchildren. Jada Ray, Jackson Danger, Brighton Ray, and Jaslyn Danielle. Four grandchildren. And I can remember vividly when they were young, holding them by the hand and saying, follow Papa. We're going to go do something cool. Follow Papa. Follow me. Boy, they'd hold my hand with their little hand. We go do cool stuff. It's funny. I felt like I was born to be a papa. Most important person in my life growing up was my papa. And so I wanted to make sure that my grandchildren really, really loved me. So the first time I held all four of my grandchildren in my arms, I would tell them, Papa loves you. Nana doesn't love you. Papa loves you. Look, she's nodding her head, yes. I ask forgiveness, but my grandchildren absolutely love me. Now listen, this also is indicative of my early years in the Lord. When I got saved out of some stuff. I was abused, beaten, neglected, abandoned. I was messed up. And when I first got saved, when I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'm just trying to tell you the sky was bluer. The grass was greener. I was the second to the last one out of the church every single time the church doors were open. The last one was my pastor locking it. I attended every service. He gave me my first Bible. He led me. He leads us, our first stage. I can remember, I was 21 years old. I can remember laying in bed at night, and I would beg Jesus, Lord, please let me lead. Let me read just 5 more chapters before I fall asleep. Please, Lord. And He would let me read 5 more chapters. And then, Lord, please, just 5 more. And I'd wake up in the morning with a Bible open on my chest. He leads you. He leads you. You open the Word, and it is a rhema Word of God that just comes alive. It was discipled in the miraculous. I saw things. I just saw miraculous things. He leads us. Now, the second stage in our maturation with God, in our walk with God, is He guides you. He guides you. And today, I really believe that Holy Spirit light bulbs are going to go on in your spirit. Because if you don't understand that, you can be very frustrated when you are guided by the Lord. So let me teach through this just a little bit. So in the first stage, he leads you. In the second stage, he guides you. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He said, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. He says, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me. God now says, you get in front of me and let me guide you. Some of you don't understand what's going on in your walk with God. Some of you have transitioned from being led by God to being guided by God. You see, when you are guided by God, you do not walk by sight, you walk by faith. He's there, but you don't see him. He's there, but maybe you don't feel him like you used to feel him. He's there, but sometimes your spiritual walk can seem dry. He's there, but sometimes maybe the word doesn't pop off the pages like it used to. It is not because you are in sin. It is not because you have neglected your walk with God. Can I set somebody free today? Could it be that you are maturing in your walk with God, and the God that said, I'm going to lead you and things were easy, is now saying, I want you to walk before me. And so many believers, they get frustrated and they get depressed and they feel abandoned. Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I don't see you like I used to see you. I don't feel you like I used to. No, sir, no, ma'am, my brother, my sister, you need to understand. You are going from glory to glory. You are transitioning in your walk with God from being led by God to being guided by God. Could it be there's nothing wrong in your walk with God and there's everything right with your walk with God? You got some roots in the Word of God. You got a prayer life going on. You've been faithful to the house. You know the Lord. You are witnessing. When I got first born again, guys, I didn't even know the Bible. My daddy gave me my first Bible and I found John chapter 3, verse 16. And I put that, how many remember the little leaf in the Bible, that little leaf thing? I put it in John 3:16 because I knew if I lost that verse, I'd never find it again. My first Bible was like this thick. And I used to throw some of the biggest parties in Oroville, California. Nobody told me when I was born again to, stop going to parties. I knew I probably shouldn't continue to throw parties. But I didn't stop going to parties. I would take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with me, my Bible, into these parties, and the presence of God was so strong upon my life. I was weeks old, and I would walk in. People would stop snorting crack and crank and drinking, and they literally would stop swearing. It wasn't Monty, how many recognize? It was the same Spirit that led Christ from the dead that was dwelling in me. And you know, I led a lot of my druggy buddies to Jesus, and a little move of God swept Oroville First Assembly of God. But there came a point in my discipleship and my maturation in my walk with God that he began guiding me. He began guiding me. And listen, how many recognize that when you are being guided by the Lord, by Almighty God, and he is watching you. He is guiding you. How many recognize he sees things that you don't see? The Bible says he knows what we have need of before we even ask. So that simply means before we even know there's a problem, God is working. So there are some of you that you feel a little confused. I don't know, Lord. What's going on? I believe God is saying, I'm promoting you. My favor is upon you. I'm taking you deeper in the Word of God. You're not going to be walking by feeling. You're going to be walking by faith. You're going to see greater miracles. You're going to see greater manifestations of the power and the presence of God. So he guides you. He hasn't left you. He's guiding you, which means he's got your back. And if God's got your back, how many recognize it's going to be okay? When God's got your back, you walk and live in, for I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It's a whole nother level. And how many recognize those of us who are being guided by the Lord, we need to disciple and pour our life and the life of the and love of the Lord into those who are being led by the Lord. We pastored three churches. First Church, Parker, Arizona. 3 years, we saw a move of God. We baptized 800 people in the Colorado River in 3 years. Now, Colorado River is big. It's raging. We lost about 14 of those baptismal candidates in the current. But we found them down the shore. No, they're fine. They're fine. Our second church in Tempe, Arizona, we grew hundreds of people. And Christian Faith Center just was out of control. But listen closely. We grew 75 to 80% through conversion. There's nothing more sacred than to see people who are messed up, people who are just like we were, come and find freedom in Christ. I don't want to judge them because they smoke. I don't want to judge them. I had one guy that was homeless. We had a homeless outreach in Tempe. And we'd have our first service out in the park, and people would crawl out of dumpsters out from under oleander trees. And we'd feed them eggs and bacon and sausage all out. We averaged about 100 people in the park. We'd have buses there. And we'd say, those who want to come to church, get on the bus. They would get on the bus. Tempe is a fairly affluent area. It's kind of like Scottsdale, then Tempe. And they would come and they would worship and raise their hands right next to successful, wealthy people. And one day, this brother, he was about a black man. He was about this, maybe this tall, very, very thin. And he came to church. And he walked, I gave a salvation altar call. And he walked down to the altar. And he reeked of alcohol so much when I was praying for him, I think I got a buzz. But I led him to the Lord. And two doors down, we had a men's discipleship home. And we would literally kidnap the homeless if they really wanted to change life. We would not let them get on the bus. And we had clothing, and we would teach them dignity, and we'd teach them how to balance a checkbook, fill out a resume, life skills. We had contractors in the church that would employ them. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. How many recognize the Lord did not come for the healthy, but the sick? He loves lost people, and so must we. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We are being changed from glory to glory. I'm just trying to tell you, walking with God is a process. And you say amen. Now my second thought for your consideration is walking with God must be your top priority. It's got to be your top priority. It's got to be more important to me than my walk with my wife, than my children, than even my grandchildren. My walk with God must be my first priority. How many know what I'm talking about? Can you say amen? He says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I'm learning in my walk with God to survive. You've got to keep on walking. You've got to keep on walking. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I love that. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm learning in my walk with God to survive, you've got to keep on walking. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says the Apostle Paul, under the anointing and influence of the Holy Spirit, he writes, having done all, to stand. To stand. I'm not going to retreat. I'm going to stand. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. And we understand that there is a physical Israel and there is a spiritual Israel. The Bible teaches that we have been grafted in. So the Bible says, fear not, I have created you. The Bible says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. How many recognize the Lord has created you? You are not an accident. I came 6 inches from being aborted. My mom had pills in her hands, and she got those pills 6 inches from her face. She opened her mouth, and she said, when I found out I was adopted at the age of 18, that's why from 18 to 21, my life was a buzz and a blur. She said, when I found out I was adopted, Mom, what happened? She said, well, my birth mom, well, something stopped me. And I got to believe it wasn't something that stopped her that day. It was someone that stopped her that day, and she gave birth to me. You see, you have been created by God. Your hair, or your lack thereof, the color of your eyes, your personality, you have been created by God. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not unwanted. You are not unloved. God created you on purpose, but listen, for a purpose. So he says, who created you? Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. John chapter 15 said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And friends, you need to understand, you're not somebody the Lord is stuck with. No, you're his first choice. Man, when I had nothing to give him, he loved me anyway. When I feel lost and confused, which still happens to me, he loves me anyway. When I had nothing of value to bring to him 43 years ago, but brokenness, but abuse, but pain, neglect, abandonment. Guys, I had nothing to offer him. And yet he offered his son to die that I might live. I continue reading. How many love the word of God? Can you say amen? He said, I've called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. I wish it said, if you walk through the fire, but it said, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Friends, you got to keep on walking. Trauma, keep on walking. Tribulation, keep on walking. Pain, abuse, abandonment, keep on walking. When you don't know what to do, you keep on walking. When you get confused, when you are weak, he is strong, but you gotta keep on walking. There's something so significant in your walk with God, that if you will keep on walking, he promises in the Word of God that he will walk with you. And aren't you grateful that we don't walk alone? That he walks with us? Fear, fatigue, broken relationships, sickness. You got to keep on walking. Can you say amen? We were pastoring in Tempe, Arizona, and after our services, Sunday morning services, we went to that great pizza place, Chuck E. Cheese Pizza, where the pizza inside the box tastes just like the box. But the children love it. Games and stuff. And Kelly and I are in line, and we're about two people behind in the line. And I noticed that the Olivas family walked in, and there are maybe five people behind us. And little Victoria, she's about 5 years old, just beautiful. Heard her say, "Look, Mom, look, Mommy, there's Jesus." And I wanted to see Jesus. I turned around. She was pointing at me. But you know what I did? I kept on walking. The larger your life, the larger your business, the larger your leadership, the larger your church, your ministry gets, the more critics you're going to have. I have been criticized on social. I have received some of the worst emails and letters that you could ever dream or imagine. Just trying to destroy me personally, my ministry, my marriage, my children, attacking everything that I love most. But you know what I did? I kept on walking. Recognizing, Lord, I'm trying to walk before you and be blameless. I'm trying to do the best I can do. I'm trying to pastor this crazy church that is exploding through people getting born again out of the drug culture, being set free, chains being broken, addictions being broken. And I understand there are some people that don't like to hear cuss words in the foyer, but God, you're drawing people who are still cussing and they're coming to the altar and you're setting them free. I'm trying, but you know, you got to keep on walking. Can't give up. Can't give up. God says to Abram, and I'm almost done. God says to Abram, and God says to you and I today, on your long walk home, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I understand people have walked into your life and people have walked out of your life. I understand people have hurt you, but I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Once I'm in your life, I'm there. I'm in your life. When you fall, I'm going to pick you up. When you sin, I'm going to forgive you. Those crazy people in your life that you love and are messed up, listen, you keep on walking and they're going to see the miracle in your life and they're going to be drawn to the Lord and they're going to walk in the miraculous. But listen, you got to keep on walking. Come on, can we put our hands together? We got to keep on walking. We got to keep on walking. I'll never forget. We were pastoring in Parker, and I shared with you 800 people baptized in 3 years. It was a miracle. And it's when we took the church, there was 35 people. It was small. And it's back then, Pastor Milt, we had the holy chairs where the pastor sat up on the stage. And Jimmy, the bass player, is leading us in worship. And we were probably 75 people at that point. And in walks this guy late to church. I didn't think anything of it. And Jimmy starts freaking out. He said, "Hey, that's Jimmy. That's Jimmy. That's Jimmy." And I'm going, "Jimmy, that's fine. We're here to worship Jesus, not Jimmy. Let's go. Let's, you know." Well, after the service, Jimmy walks the aisle and he gets born again. And come to find out his story that he was born again out of a horrible lifestyle. And he was dying of HIV. I was a young preacher then, first church. I didn't know anything. I just think, you know, there's plan A and it's the Word of God. So I did the only thing I knew to do. I had the elders of the church come with me and we greased him up. One side and down the other. And we prayed in faith, healing over Jimmy's life. He went back to the doctor and he came back the next Sunday. He said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe it. God healed me of HIV. The doctor said, I have no HIV. Can we just say amen?" So this man of faith said, "Oh, Jimmy, I need to see it in writing." He went back to his doctor and the doctor wrote a 3-paragraph letter. I put it in plexiglass and I put it right at the foot of the pulpit, recognizing I don't care what you walked in these doors with. My God is a supernatural God. He can save you. He can heal you. He can forgive you. He can give your life purpose. He can make a message out of your mess. It's good. And he's God. Let me close. I don't know if maybe we can have music or something. I don't know. That would be great. Pastor Mitch, thank you. Trust me, they want you to sing, not me. Let me close by asking you a very important question. Whose life is your hand in? For 21 years, my life was in my hand. And Monty, on his best day, was just this side of death or prison. A lot of my buddies made it to prison. Quite a few of my friends didn't make it out of the drug culture and died. Whose hand is your life in? Let me give you a great example, an illustration. I'm not going to talk about football because my Raiders are not in the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl is being played in the Raiders Stadium. Now listen closely. A basketball in my hand is worth $39. But the same basketball in Stephen Curry's hand is worth $48 million a year. You see, it all depends on whose hand it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth $19, but this same baseball in the Mets star Max, and I'm not going to pronounce his last name, I won't get it right, is worth $43 million a year. You see, it all depends on whose hand it's in. A golf club in my hand, it's a weapon. But the same golf club, I'm a lefty. Any lefties in the house? I love you. But the same golf club in Phil Mickelson's hand, he's a lefty, is worth $111 million a year. You see, it all depends on whose hand it's in. A frying pan in my hand will get you food poisoning. But the same frying pan in Gordon Ramsay's hand, can we just scream, absolutely delicious. Come on. You see, it all depends in whose hand it's in. A nail in my hand will get you a birdhouse that will probably be condemned. But a nail in the Son of God's hand will get you born again, will get you saved, will get you spiritually free, will clean up your life, will get stains out that nothing else can get out, will give your life meaning, will give you a new creation, make you a new creation, and give you a new start and a new heart. Come on, can we all put our hands together? It all depends on whose hand your life is in. Dear ones, God is with you. Keep on walking. Would you stand to your feet all over the building? I wonder if there's somebody here today, maybe our online family, that you would say, wow, Pastor Monty, thanks for being vulnerable and sharing your story. And if I were to be very vulnerable, I would say, there's some arenas in my life that, man, I need Jesus. Maybe there is somebody here that would say, you know, Pastor Monty, if I were to be open, I'm a moral person, I'm a good person, but I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart to be my personal Savior. Or maybe there's somebody here, someone watching our online family, that would say, Pastor Monty, man, if I could be really open and honest, I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I want to pray for you today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Holy Spirit of God, just survey all of our hearts. I pray that you'd take us all one step closer to you. And Lord, if there's anyone in here that does not know you in a personal way, or somebody here that is not where they should be with you, I pray that you'd change their heart today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor Monty, would you pray for me? I need Jesus today. I'm not where I should be with the Lord. Would you please pray for me? Can I see your hands right now all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Is there anyone else? God bless you. I see you in the back. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Let me see your hands. You can put it down after you raise it. Okay. Would you look my way? There are so many things I love about Summit Worship Center. You have some of the finest pastors in America. What I really love about this church is this is not just a church to go to. This is a family to belong to. And church, we had probably 15 people that raised their hand, and I'm going to lead them in a prayer. Can we put our hands together as family and say, we applaud your decision today? And I want to lead you in a prayer that my spiritual father led me in 43 years ago. And I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this out loud right alongside these beautiful, wonderful people who are driving spiritual stakes in the ground today. Would you bow your hearts before the Lord? And I'm going to ask all of you to pray this prayer out loud. Those who raise your hand, I want you to pray it with all of your heart. Please repeat these words out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today just as I am. Jesus, please forgive me for the mistakes I've made, for the sin in my life. I'm sorry and I repent. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. You were buried in a grave, rose from the dead on the third day, according to Scripture. Jesus, right now, would you come into my heart? Would you be my Savior and the Lord of my life? Would you lead me? Would you guide me into all you have for me? Lord, I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. I am now a Christian, saved by grace through faith. In Jesus' name, can we give these wonderful people a great big hand? And we would like to say, welcome home. Okay, I'm going to close. I believe there are some of you who have been touched by the Lord, and I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. And I want to read scriptures, and I'll be done. And Pastor Milt is going to come and close the service. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. If you want more of God, the Lord has touched your heart today, and you know there's more. You want to take your walk to a whole nother level. I want you to come to the altar. Hey, come on down. Miss this moment. Come on down. There are quite a few of you, there's that uneasiness. I think that's the Lord saying, yeah, that's you. Come on down. I want to touch you today. I want to take your walk to a whole other level. If you accepted the Lord today or rededicated your life, please come to the altar. And while they're coming, what is the altar? The altar is where we exchange our worst for His best. So come to the altar. Okay. I want to bless you today. I want you to do this. Put one hand over your heart and the other hand just open-handed. And everyone, even in the audience, put your right hand over your heart. Open your hand. And I want to read the Word of God over you. God is going to bless you. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. What's more, I am with you. I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I promised you. Dear ones, look at me in the altar. Look at me in the congregation. God is with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Beloved, God is with you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Beloved, God is with you. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57, may the Lord God be with us as He was with our ancestors. May He never leave us nor abandon us. God is with you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. God is with you. God is with you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with you. Finally, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, for hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone, never. Now listen closely. He says, look my way if you would. He says, I will never loosen my grip on your life. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will never loosen my grip on your life. Never. I will never loosen my grip on your life. God says, I got you. I got you. You are not alone. I'm walking with you. Some of us, God has walked through hell with us. Some of us, God has found us in deep, dark places. But God said, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I got your back. And I will never loosen my grip on your life, on your home, on your marriage, on your children. I got you, he says. I saw the pain. I saw it. You know, he's Almighty God. He's the Savior of the world, but he's also the weeping Savior. Three times in Scripture, it is recorded that Jesus wept. And the Bible says that he is so close that he catches every tear in a bottle. You haven't wept alone. He's been with you. You have no idea how many times I would wake up in another town and not know how I got there. The grace of God was upon my life. Even when I didn't know him, he knew me. He said, I am with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, not for the opinion of a preacher, but from the validity of the Word of God, that you are with us. You're with us in our walk with you. Lord, some take by the hand and lead them. And there will come that day in their maturation in Christ that God would say to you, the God that walked before you, now I want you to walk before me and be blameless. I got your back. I got your family. I got that son that's going crazy. I know the turmoil in the home, but I got it. I got it. I got you. And Lord, we thank you that you will never loosen your grip on our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. From the depths of our heart, we love you so very much. Hey, if we lived even just a little bit closer, we'd be members in this church. Would you put your hands together and welcome Pastor Milt as he closes the service?
Thank you, Monty. Wasn't that a great word today? So thankful for that. Before we go, I would like to say that we're very honored to have Aaliyah back with us today and Andy. God bless you. She's a miracle. And I want to also remind you, on Wednesday night, we're having a worship and prayer night. We're just going to draw close to God. It's going to be just an awesome time. So if you have a special need you want us to pray about, come Wednesday night. We're going to pray for whatever needs you have. Not just the trip to Pakistan, but we're going to pray for everybody's need who has a need. We're going to believe God's going to do a miracle. Amen. Aren't you thankful we serve a miracle working God? Father, we're just so thankful today for your precious promises in your word. Lord, I ask you to guide us and direct us. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, just keep us on the right path. Lord, I pray that we would just stand. And when we've done all we can do to stand, we would continue to stand in the power of your might. Lord, that we would continue to go forward. That we would always remember that you have promised you will never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, as we walk out these doors, Lord, let us remember that today is Super Sunday because you are a super God. Because your presence is with us. Your promises are true. Nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, we have surrendered all that we are to you. Lord, just bless your precious people. Let us just rejoice in you today. And I ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Finally, as you leave today, if you have a love offering for Monty and Kelly, you can put it in the buckets and just mark on there on the envelope that it's for Monty and Kelly. God bless you and have a great day. Tell somebody you love them in the Lord as you leave today.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.